V nadaljevanju bomo prisluhnili gospe Oliveri Koprivici. Prihaja iz Srbije, diplomirala je na Pravoslavni teološki fakulteti v Beogradu in magistrirala na Liturgičnem inštitutu teološke fakultete v Leipzigu. Sedaj poučuje verski pouk v Novem Sadu na gimnaziji Jovana Jovanoviča Zmaja. Ko je bila v decembru 2012 tukaj pri nas, ko je potekala mednarodna konferenca z naslovom Religijski pouk v svetu danes, je za radio povedala, da so religijski pouk sedmih verskih skupnosti, ki je izbirni predmet in ga v javnih šolah izvajajo predstavniki vsake od njih, v Srbiji znova uvede leta 2001. In potem dodala, da po 12 letih religijskega pouka v šolah lahko vidijo pozitivne rezultate pri osebnostni rasti in pa večji odgovornosti učencev. Slišali bomo predavanje z naslovom Vedenje o stvarih in poznavanje oseb. And in English, Ms. Olivera Koprivica comes from Serbia. She graduated at the Orthodox Theological Faculty in Belgrade and achieved master's degree in Liturgical Institute of the Faculty of Theology in Leipzig. She is currently teaching religious education in Novi Sad at the Gymnasium of Jovan Jovanovic Zmaj. The title of her essay is The Knowledge of Things and the Knowledge of Persons. Okay.
Just sorry, a little bit closer. My respect to you all. I will try to represent you what kind of a method of knowing we have in Orthodox theology. And at first I will say something about the today dominant method of knowing and say about some consequences that we are facing today in the world, and then I will try to represent the system of knowledge that we have in Orthodox theology. So we all know that there is many numerous opinions and prejudice related to the problem of knowledge, and it is very known that the science and religion, faith and knowledge, mind and heart, there are many different dualities: materialism, idealism, rationalism, existentialism, and so on. So in all of that historical struggle of different theories of knowledge, today the dominant knowledge and the method of knowing is scientific knowledge, and all of you know that it concerns the knowledge that is formal, and it has to in connection with experiments, with mathematical logic. In this approach, when we look at the art or science and poetry and philosophy and theories, they have a role only to regulate human behavior, and their relevance is declared subjective and characterized as uncertain and relative. And what is also very important to mention, that the scientific knowledge knows the truth as accuracy, something that can be measured, the facts, and it is the basis of science, the progress, technology, and modern information society. So, the consequences of this approach, this dominant opinion in the world, is that we have relativization of truth for some interests or for some opinions that come from different parts of human lives, from one side. And from the other side, the truth is relativized because we have so many facts. We can find so many information all over the world. So we can relativize the truth in the way that someone can say, for example, that is my opinion, that is your opinion, okay, that's what you think. And that's the problem, because Professor mentioned already, it's a modern nihilism. Everything is true and nothing is true, and it's very hard for a human and for younger to understand themselves and their way how to live and how to understand the world and themselves. That is very important. That is why it's very important to speak about the knowledge. Why is it important for us? When we think about how we come to talk and to have the dominant way of thinking that is scientific, that is formal, that is precise, we can research history and theology and philosophy, and we can see that in many centuries, Christians in their theology put a point on a reason and say that the most important in human life is a reason. That is not only that, but the reason is God's image in human. That means that someone is a being when he's reasonable. You're probably familiar with Descartes' "I think, therefore I am." That is one way to express that opinion. And man, from the other creature, he's reasonable. He has the nature to play with. He has the nature is something to that is objectivized. So we can use it for our purposes, for something that we need. So nature is something indifferent. And consequently, who is not reasonable is not a human. That is why, for example, reason have the power for everything. And during the history, we have some steps that going further. That my reason is from where I start in my life, from my opinion, from my thoughts, I begin to understand the world, the others, from myself, and the God too. And it means that we speak today from everything. Everything became object for us. The others are object, nature is object, God is object. For example, we have that in our media. We speak, for example, human resources. We have advertising campaigns, how to influence others, and we consider them as objects, not as persons. We, for example, we sell poisons to children, and we say, oh, Coca-Cola is super, McDonald's. But there are the ways to influence somebody that we see as an object. We don't care if he died or if he's ill or something like that. That is also we can see that this problem also in film industry, also in sport, in fashion, that we treat humans as objects, and that is dominant today in the world, because of this development. There are some changes, of course. There are some changes within philosophy, of course, and science, that put a question mark on this approach to the nature, world, God, and others. For example, we have existentialism, we have Nietzsche, that they said that it is important to see a man as a being that is possible to understand only through a relationship, not looking from beside. And also the scientific world gives something very important for the world thought, for the development of method of knowing. At first, this is Einstein with his theory of relativism. And he said it is not only that important to understand some facts in nature. We can understand them, but we have to consider that they are changing just for the fact from our motion, from our angle that we look at them, from one side. And from the other side, in quantum physics and analysis of light, we have the researches that shows that the result of scientific experiments and observation, the facts that we become, depends not only from angle and from our motion, but from the very fact that we are looking at them, that we are observing them. And this relativization of scientific knowledge is very important because it can open human's mind to develop more different approaches to others, to other humans, and to nature. However, still today we have something that is we were still talking in the scientific terms. We are talking about subject, object, and for us, truth is still something that is precise. This is truth as accuracy. It is, for example, we know that that is not. Maybe it's not the perfect way, but we are thought, we are rooted to that kind of looking at others and to nature. And it is hard to change. So, the different approach, glaciology, that is theory of knowledge, the method of knowledge, what is important for Orthodox theology, now I came to this part, to try to represent how is it possible not to think at a different way, but to live at a different way? Not to think about something, but to live it. That it's not only important to understand, but to be connected with something. That is that in the Orthodox theology, we don't use terms such as objects or when we think about others. We don't use that. We use terms as person. And what is also very important for theory of knowledge, that we say we consider the others not as monads, that they are only look at themselves, but we think that this is not possible to understand the subject me or I without the other, without you. And more, there is no me without the other. I know me through connection with other. Of course, in theology, we always think and talk about a person, not about individual, but the person. And it means person is not an individual, because you have probably learned in psychology that individual is have some psychological, mental, spiritual characteristics. We don't consider somebody only by characteristics and facts about that person, but person for Orthodox theology means not only psychological, but how he lives and who somebody is in a relationship with others, with nature and God. It means that when we consider ourselves as persons and others as persons, it is something dynamic. It is have to do something with our life. It is existential, we said, because it is something that we can know only in dynamic of community. And to know somebody as a person, that is that kind of knowledge that we difference from this scientific formal knowledge that we can collect about the things. That is, that we know the type of knowledge that is for us also true, also very important, that is the knowledge that we gain through relationship with somebody. And this relationship, this community, have to be and always considers love and freedom. Maybe to clear a little bit about this. What does it mean? It means that the knowledge about things can be collected through scientific knowledge, through some measurements, some experiences, through some calculation and so on. But the knowledge about the persons is absolutely not relative for us. Facts about the persons are not interesting. For example, I can know, I don't know, somebody's DNA or, I don't know, the measurements of the body, the color of the hair or something like that. But does it mean that I know that person? Does it mean that is relevant for us? You can see what I think. For example, we have today, Professor, I think, also thought something about the problem of media from virtual technologies. And this is really very important to say. That's a way to collect some facts, to collect some information, but not the way to know the truth. You can, for example, in Facebook, you can speak with somebody, have photos, he said something, he speaks something, but you don't have the living connection with that person. You can say, oh no, I don't want to talk with you again, or we don't share the life together. What does it mean? It means that to know somebody, it means that he wants to reveal himself to us, and that I want to reveal myself to the other. Will is very important, and it have to be in freedom and in love. It means that when I love somebody, I won't hide anything, I won't lie about myself, I won't protect myself for somebody. I won't think that he think as me as an object. So the dynamic of community is very important. And love, always considering love and freedom. That is why also we have to meet God, not to know facts about him, because the God is not an object, and God is also not provable through some experiments. We can have facts about God, we can read Bible, we can read in internet everything about Christ's lives, but it doesn't matter to us anything if it doesn't reflect on our lives. Now, for example, I can know that God is merciful and graceful and everything, but I don't care about it, because when does it consider me? Then when I want to participate in the communion with God, when I want to involve myself in this community, and that is what God wants from us. Not to know that he exists, but to participate in the community. Devil also knows that God exists. It's not a problem. But he doesn't want to be the part of that community. And now, what I want to say, for us it is possible to understand God, to collect some facts about him. We don't have to struggle to reach some mystical, I don't know, some mystical points in our lives to try to understand him. We don't have to do that, because he reveals himself to us. He does it first. God already made. He had revealed himself through his son. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the world and revealed his son. Not sent the Christ to set some facts about him, but to call us into the community of freedom and love, and to meet him, and in that community to have eternal life. That is why God is love. He's not somebody that feels love. That is why he is love, because he's eternal community of three persons. I'm sorry, I didn't read my things that I wrote, but because I think it will be probably not that, but what I want to say, to conclude my thoughts. It is true that this kind of knowledge of persons is subjective, and the process to meet somebody as a person is subjective, but it doesn't mean that it's not true. And it has to be subjective, because everybody is unique. And in this process of knowing, the other has also some role, not only me, to observe somebody. So the knowledge and persons, that is something that is existential, not the facts. And at the end, of course, for us, everything can be understood as object, also prayer. For example, we can think of, I go to church, pray something for me that I need, I go to my house, and that means also to objectify God as some force that helps us. That is not part of my being, but part of my life, he helps me, and but I don't connect existentially with him. That is why for Orthodox and for Christians, to know God means to be part of the church. Not to know that Jesus Christ existed and that he has a Father and Holy Spirit, but to participate in the community with God in Holy Mass and in Holy Mass and in liturgy. And that is what is for us, what is truth. The person of Christ is true for us, not the facts. How we live, that is the truth. Not how we only believe and understood the world. So, in Orthodox theology, we don't see duality and negativity between faith and science. We just look as different approaches to the knowledge, different methods to understand the world within the world, and to understand persons. So, faith and science doesn't exclude each other, but complement each other. Okay, I think I will stop here. I don't know how many time did I take, but this is a very important theme, and I teach my students about it. We have some. I prepared also some examples from our classes, but maybe to stop here, it will be okay. Thank you.